Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Listen, Give, Live. And we're so happy to be on the radio with you today. Today, we're just going to go over this week's news and have some fun with you. So I will start the news up while we wait for my colleague, Mr. Jay Logan, out of San Francisco. And he will be joining us very, very shortly. So we're going to start with a very interesting article this week on actual video set up by this gentleman who did a poem. And the poem was the coolest thing I had ever heard. It was like really to get off your smartphone. So it was a poem that will inspire you to put down your smartphone. So I'm going to play it here for you just a little bit to see what you guys think about it. I thought it was the coolest thing.
I have 422 friends, yet I'm lonely. I speak to all of them every day, yet none of them really know me. The problem I have is in the space between looking into their eyes with a name on a screen. Took a step back and opened my eyes. I looked around and realized the media we call social is anything but when we open our computers and it's our doors we shut. All this technology we have is just an illusion. Community, companionship, a sense of inclusion. Yet when you step away from...
Now this video is by Gary Turk. But we're going to play it for you more later in the show. But for right now, we have Mr. Jay Logan on the show. Mr. Logan, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Gail, out here in on the West Coast, checking out the West Coast.
Well, just to let our audience know, Jay is actually in the car driving, so we will have to work with our technology today to have this come through. Jay, were you starting to hear the poem that a gentleman by the name of Gary Turk out of the UK created?
Yes, I did hear a little bit of that.
Yes, and it was really about getting off your smartphone. He did this like little poem rap, and it's the coolest thing. The video is great. So we'll put it on our website later for everyone to view. But right now, let's just get into the news, Mr. Logan. We've got so much news to go over from this week. It's going to be amazing. So where shall we start, Mr. Logan? What do you want to start with since I started off with my little poem?
I want to start off with Beats by Dre. 3-4 hours ago, Gail, they sold Beats by Dre to Apple. Apple has bought Beats by Dre for $3.2 billion. Let's just round it off at $3 billion for now. $3 billion. So I know Dr. Dre and Jimmy Levine and all those guys and all the people who invested are very happy with the sale of the company. They're just having a ball over there. They've made a great media company. I just want to look at Beats by Dre as just a headphone company. I always thought it was like more of a media company, a company that can do more than just, you know, just music. And so this is good for Beats by Dre. It's also good for Apple. It's Apple's highest purchase. So we're going to see what Apple does with Beats by Dre. I'm curious to see what they're going to do with that brand.
I am too, because I never thought Beats by Dre was that great. I actually happen to like Logitech and Sennheiser, okay? And there's another one that's really good too. There's some Sennheisers that are really amazing. So, you know, I think it makes sense for what they're doing. And I happen to know we had Kevin Lee on our show last year sometime, who was actually the son of Noel Lee, who owns Monster Cable. And Kevin Lee has another set of headphones out called Soul, S-O-L. So it's going to be very interesting. We just know that Dr. Dre is doing very well right now. Would you not say that, Mr. Logan?
Oh, yes, he's doing very well right now. He's the highest. I think he topped with this sale, Gil. He topped, you know, P. Diddy. He topped P. Diddy by $100 million. So now he's the most wealthiest rap artist that have came from a rap background on the planet. So I think he's worth $400 million, and And Puffy Combs is worth $300 million or something.
I'm surprised Puffy has any more money left. I don't know what to call him. P. Diddy, Puffy, they said he went back to Puffy. Sean Coon. I'm not sure what to call him anymore. You know, going from music on to the next level, scientists create the first living organism containing artificial DNA. Now, that I really want to talk about.
Yeah, that is a very, 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 very accomplishment that man has done. The biochemists, they created the first living organism containing artificial DNA, Gil, as they added man-made DNA to living DNA, and the living DNA of, I would say, that DNA accepted the new DNA, and so they're able to add stuff to the DNA, which is changes, it's like changes the genetic code, you know, the things that guys like. So I'm very, very, I'm very optimistic about this. There's some cons and some good things about it. So it's going to be able to lead to new antibiotics and vaccines and vaccinations and stuff and new medical products.
If it's used for that. Now, let's just say that DNA got into the hands of existing animals, because now, right now, you know, we've talked about this over the past year. Animals, because of different things that have happened with oil drilling and things like that, the oil spill, they're actually coming up 10 times their size out of the water. I would be concerned if this kind of information or this kind of breakthrough got into the wrong hands. I also would be concerned about people being able to, you know, do more with this. In general, you know, like if the wrong hands got on it, you know what I mean?
Exactly. All the worst of fears, you know, Godzilla come out of the ocean. Any kind of new form of life can be grown. It's a movie called Resident Evil, which is a movie all about these new deformed genetic code changes that change life force here on the planet and viruses getting out. This right here really shows that is possible. It's very scary, actually. So there's some good things and some bad things. Once you start messing with the DNA code and changing things, you're in a whole different ball game, you know. They found the God particle, Dale, as you know, last year. They found the God particle. This is the other side. Now you can start changing, you know, life forms at the core, which is really, really, really unimaginable.
For our audience that doesn't know what the God particle is, would you explain to them what that is?
The smallest thing, smaller than an atom, smaller than a neutron, smaller than a proton, which everything has. Everything is made from this particle. So they discovered it, that everything is made from the same energy, the same thing. And now they have proven it, and now that just opens up a whole ball game of things that which they're going to be able to do in the future. A lot of the technology isn't here yet to be able to take advantage of these new findings, but in the future they'll be able to use this, and it just opens up a whole wealth of technology advancement.
Wow. Wow. Well, you know, thank you for sharing that.
We've all made proof that everybody's made out of the same thing. Green, black, blue, yellow, pink. Doesn't matter. We're all the same.
You know, we could go really deep into this because the God particle is really something that from a molecular side is, I mean, this could, you know, we have to be careful of this too, because the first thing that came up is if someone is accused of wrongdoing, we could actually manipulate the genetic code of that person.
That's true. That's really scary, man.
Yeah, it is. I mean, think about it. Wars, everything. The genetic code can actually be manipulated. This is not like conspiracy theory. We're not a show for conspiracy theory, but it's like we now are in a position where we can manipulate an individual's, like, genetic code. That's why it's important that the people who are working on this are working on this from a place of trying to support others. You know what I mean?
Yes, if you're worried about steroids, this takes it to a different level. Could you imagine building an army of new DNA soldiers? What a country could do with new soldiers that are stronger and faster and quicker and can see further. They'll be like super X-Men.
Wow. Well, this is really good stuff. Thanks, Jay, for sharing this. You know, I want to go on to the next one, Jay.
Well, I want to ask you about the Asian countries that's dominating the global ranking now. Did you know Asia is dominating the global education ranking? I mean, it's countries like Southeast Asia, all these Southeast Asian countries, they hold the top four spots. Korea, Japan, and Singapore and Hong Kong beat out 39 countries in the global index of educational attainment.
Well, you know what's interesting? But you know what's interesting about this? They're focusing not on just education, but they're also focusing on cognitive behavior.
Uh-huh.
And so cognitive, that's the brain and the education attainment. That's important. They're not just focusing on education.
Okay. Could you go a little bit more? Go a little bit more into that, because that's interesting what you just said. So they're not focusing just on education. They focus on what the as far as the how the village raises the it educates.
They didn't get that. As you and I both know, they didn't get heavily into that. But they're looking at the cognitive, which again, this goes back to DNA and genetic code. They're focusing on the cognitive behavior. So when we look at the behavior, they're focusing on to see how that child responds to education stimuli, how that child responds to behavior issues, how, you know, they're looking at making sure that the behavior is in line with the education standards. So if that child is a special needs, you know, attention deficit, ADD, attention deficit, high deficit, ADHD. Now they have oppositional deficit, you know, disorder, which is ODD. They have mental illness, which is bipolar. They have other forms of that, which is depression. They've got manic depressive. There's all these lines, and if you're bipolar, there's four different levels to that, manic depressive, four different levels, depression, four different levels, ADHD, four different levels. You know, these are really things to look at. And then they're looking at that in terms of the economics of this, too. So this is really something to look at. So we're looking at Asian countries that dominate in global education ranking. What is that saying? Europe is behind. The U.S. is behind. Latin America is behind. The Middle East is behind. That's saying a lot.
Right. It's also saying a lot, and doing that report, you know, I just want to stress, they also stress that lifelong learning is needed to preserve those skills developed in education as they decline with age. So, in other words, if you don't keep working it, you'll lose it, I guess. Huh? That's basically what they're saying. They're saying after a while, if you don't use these skills that you learn in college, they decline after a certain period of time.
Well, this is where we bring back in the diet. This is where we bring back in the exercise. As a child leading up, you have to eat the right food. So because it shows in Middle America where trucks do not go through certain neighborhoods or certain areas of Middle America, like let's say Wisconsin or Minnesota or different parts of the world, they clearly show the education. I mean, kids who are not getting the proper nutrition, you know, eating out of foods out of cans. You know, I was just looking at something recently that people think this is good. Food that they said that the U.S. discards about several tons of food a year, hundreds and millions of tons of food a year. Well, why would I want to take food that's about to rot and bring it and feed it to family? You get what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Because food that's about to rot and feed it to young people will still keep their brain from correctly with the correct growth to grow. Okay? So it's so important that the amount of food that our children get in this country and in Europe is the correct food, not genetically modified food, but food that they really get that really sources their nutrition, because that helps brain growth, cognitive behavior, the way they respond to education stimuli, the way they're going to respond as they get older. I looked at a show the other day with a family member that showed about people who are over 90 and how they were forgetting some things and not other things. Okay? As we get older and we go through stressful circumstances, from a child to older, we develop small strokes, which has plaque in the brain. If there's a lot of plaque in the brain, we cannot remember things, we cannot think, we cannot learn, or we learn at such a slow pace. So from a child until older, we have to really remain calm at all times. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that is, you know, this comes right on the heels of this, making sure our kids are eating correctly.
Right. Well, maybe with new DNA discovery, they can do something about that plaque situation, brain, you know.
I wouldn't trust the genetic code. You know, I know it's kind of funny, but in a way it's not, because it's really crazy, you know. So now I want to go on to a very interesting thing, Jay, if that was okay with you.
Sure.
So I wanted to go into something that really is interesting. It's Japan's new growth. Now, Japan is known for educating women, okay? But at the same time, those women are relegated to supportive positions, okay? So CNBC reported, and I want to read this to our audience because I think it's quite important. So we're getting this from CNBC. It was written by Leslie Schaefer, a writer for CNBC, and it was done yesterday. Japan's drive to increase its female labor force participation, dubbed Women Economics, won't just boost economic growth. It also offers significant investment potential, Goldman Sachs says. Japan can no longer afford not to leverage half its population. Goldman Sachs said in a note Tuesday, noting the country's total population will shrink 30% by 2060, with the elderly accounting for 40% of the population. Indeed, Japan's demographic makeup has become so skewed towards an older population that 21.3 million registered pet dogs and cats outnumbers the 16.5 million children under the age of 15. Now, that is a very powerful article, because what it goes on to say is more women have already entered Japan's workforce, with the population at a record high of 62.5%. from 60% in 2010. And women's participation rate rose to match men's 80.6. Japan's gross domestic product could rise by as much as 12.5%. That's likely because higher incomes for women are more likely to translate into more spending. Goldman noted that women control the majority of purchasing decisions globally and within Japan. They account for around 63% of consumer purchases. So women economics will remain a powerful secular investment theme, it said. Sectors it believes will benefit from greater employment of women include e-commerce, travel, prepared food suppliers, and restaurants, beauty and apparel products, and child care and elder care providers. Now, I think this is powerful, because what I love in how this article is moving forward is it's not women against men and men against women. Japan is inviting women in to participate with the men on the same level. There still is that little differentiation between men here and women there, just instead of saying workforce. But I believe this article really shows the difference as an invitation as opposed to fighting for. Fighting for, when you come from that context, you're fighting for something. So that makes the men not want to come together in partnership. But when you're working together to shift a mindset, that's more empowering to the economy growth itself. What are your thoughts, Jay?
That's so wonderful to know, because basically when I go there, women, they work really hard over there. Most of the women work hard, and I'm really glad that Japan is coming around to that, because everything in Japan was set on older values, which is nothing wrong with that. But we live in a new world economy. in the new world economy, women are starting to shine. And Japan has to participate, because if they don't, they're going to get left behind. And in their customs, most people in Japan, the women, I think they could use a lot more respect from the men in the culture there, because most of the shops and the stores and the venues and the places that we went when Patent Leather was over in Japan, most of the shoppers were women. Most of the department stores were based on what women want. I mean, from Louis Vuitton to whatever. So I can see that really happening, and so it's good that it's changing, and that it's going to be a new guard, because Japan is such a beautiful country, and the women there are very beautiful, too, and this is good for them, because they need that social change.
Well, here's what's interesting about this whole thing, Jay. They need the social change, but what we have to do as Americans is remember to see each country through its eyes and not our own eyes, okay? Because what happens in this country towards women, so as an example, in Uganda and also in Serbia, in Europe, and Bosnia, that is more of a Muslim-based country. Uganda just passed complete polygamy laws. We can't go in and tell women fight for your rights when it's not the customs, the culture, and everything doesn't call for that. So it's about being in partnership and showing men that there's nothing to fear, but to have partnership. Women have to remember to not have ego. So I think that's really a powerful place to stand from. What are your thoughts on that, Meg?
I think it's right. People have customs and they have old ways, and it's not up to America to dictate to other third world countries or even other countries, power countries, what they should do. I mean, everybody has to learn in their own given time. But at the same time, we got to respect one another, and all the countries need to respect their women workforce because, hey, you know, Mother's Day is around the corner here, and without you guys, would be none of us. So I just hope that these other countries do put their women in the workforce more and just give them that that respect at the same time, honoring their culture, honoring their ancient ways, because we don't want to lose any of the ancient ways because those are the things that we're built on. So, but it's not up to America to be a police and dictate what we think it should be. It's not up to us. It's up to that country.
Exactly.
I've
always been a believer of that. Well, you know,
yes,
on
right.
to music news. We're on to music news. You know, you were talking about Pandora, Jay, earlier this week. You know, Pandora, I don't have a problem with Pandora. I think Pandora was one of the first radio stations around to really, really bring music on from new artists, well-known artists, established artists, the whole bit. And it needs money to survive. Bandwidth alone with millions of people on it is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that we really need to look at. So we get mad at Pandora, but, you know, Apple has enough money to survive anything. Pandora is not an Apple. So what are your thoughts about that?
Well, a lot of times people don't want the commercials and the advertising and it interrupts their data stream, but they got free accounts. I mean, come on. They have to make their money somehow. But the problem with Pandora, they say, is the advertising. Too much advertising. They don't get a chance to – they have to find other ways to have data streams. They haven't been able to come up with different ideas for data streams. So I like Pandora. I wish we had a little bit more control. I want Pandora to make sure they pay the royalties to the songwriters and the artists also. So the only way they can do it is have these advertising companies advertise on their websites and on their product, on their brand. So basically they said Pandora is most likely to collapse by the end of the year because of the advertising. There's a lot of free stuff, and people tend to go.
Now, here, Jay, I have a question on that for you. Yes, that's what an analyst is saying. That's not said. That's not written in stone.
Yeah, but you got SoundCloud. You got all these other free people tend to spend their time on more controllable brands where they have more control over what they hear.
True, but now this is where we can. This is really great because while SoundCloud does have that, SoundCloud. Here's the issue with SoundCloud. That's over. It doesn't have a radio station.
Right.
And you can, and even on Pandora, you can control what you hear. You can totally control what you hear, what kind of station you want to listen to. You know, are you now? I'm gonna put you on the spot, Jay. Are you a are you someone who really respects and likes Pandora or no?
Well, I like it, but it, you know, you can control your radio station you hear, but you can't say play this record, stay within this field, or stay within this genre. It's gonna play once, pretty much. So that's the only control. I like Pandora. I like the fact that it's a radio station, but I would rather just put everything on a jump drive and plug it up. And make my own station and, you know, make my own channel and play exactly what I want. Because Pandora does, like, a random thing where, you know.
Well, it depends. You can, if you're listening to Beyonce, you can listen to Beyonce and artists like her, and you can put a down, you know, a thumbs down or a thumbs up. That's what I personally like about it, you know. So, but who knows?
Like,
Jay? I've got something very important to talk to you about. Now, you're going to laugh about this one. We might as well say Bitcoin is now officially definitely currency.
What?
That's right.
Okay.
So okay. So this is by Mashable. This is during this week from yesterday by Lorenzo Franceschi Baicara. I hope I said it right. By way of Mashable. It now says the Federal Election Commission voted unanimously to allow political committees and indirectly the politicians they support to accept donations in the form of Bitcoin on Thursday. The decision is not an official rule or regulation, but it opens the door for other federal political committees to accept Bitcoin. Not just the committee who made the request, it is also one of the very first rulings by a U.S. government agency on how to treat Bitcoin. In this case, the commission decided donations will be considered in-kind contributions, like stock or property. Now, you know, Bitcoin is a whole thing going on about Bitcoin. Now, you know, it's not real money as far as I'm concerned in my hand. I mean, I believe, and I don't know too much about it. I purposely stayed away from it. I know that, you know, given that Jay and I give the news, we shouldn't be staying away from stuff like that, but personally, for me, I thought it was garbage. So I stayed away from it. So it just goes to show you now, I guess America's really running out of money because now look at where we are.
Wow. Is it going to replace our current? I mean, I'm wondering, is Bitcoin going to replace our current? Is that what it's trying to do?
I don't think so. I think it's just to have other currency. Okay? So now, Jay, last bit of news. Again, coming from Mashable with Sam Schroeder today, California lawmakers passed an updated version of the state's cell phone kill switch bill, a measure that requires mobile device manufacturers to build remote cutoffs into the hardware so a phone can be disabled if lost or stolen. This is the second time the measure has come before the California State Senate. It was rejected last month, two votes away from becoming law. Government officials suspected the wireless industry didn't want to lose out on business from insurance groups that covered phone theft. Now, you know, I wish they would because I have almost lost my phone. The only trouble with that is if you get the phone killed, it's hard to get your information back. So they say similar legislation is underway in New York, Minnesota, and Illinois. And Apple, Google, and a handful of the other smartphone manufacturers agreed to add a kill switch solution to their handsets by July 2015. So California is doing it, trying to do it as well. So I thought you. So if you lose your phone, Jay, and you find it again, you're kind of in trouble.
So you don't have a code that you can keep to reinitiate your kill switch after it's returned to you?
Well, in a way, if you think about it, Jay, that's why they tell us to back up our phone. They have that thing. They have that option in our phone to back up all our information. At one time, you couldn't back up your text. Now you can.
Right. So in other words, you know, your phone will never be able to be resold. So what's the point of stealing?
Wow. So I'm just, you know, this is really amazing. Really amazing.
Well, you know,
so, Jay?
I just want to add to this, you know, technology is great to keep things from being stolen. I just want to give a really quick scenario. Now, you guys, you know, remember the CDs, people used to keep CDs in their car. Well, since everything now are MP3s or wave data, they don't have to keep CDs in their car anymore, so nobody breaks in your car to steal your CD album. You don't have to worry about, because they don't even have CDs, even little CD players hardly. So they're phasing that out, so eventually you won't even have any hardware or hard copies of things that can be stolen. Everything will have a kill switch. That stops people breaking in people's cars a little bit. I'm just looking at how technology changes matter.
So, Jay, I've got a little something for you. It looks like it looks like they're trying to say now that Beats has a little Apple insignia on it now, the Apple logo. So what they're saying is there's an option that Apple will eventually do away with the Beats brand. From a financial standpoint, this makes sense, some sense. The managing director of branding from Lander Associates New York office notes supporting just one brand in the market, as Apple has always done, is generally cheaper than supporting two. So they're saying that Apple may put there's a couple of options what they're going to do with Beats. They may put their logo there. So, Jay, is there any more news that you want to discuss with our audience before we leave out today?
No, that's pretty much everything. You guys are pretty much on top of what's going on in the world. Everything is I've said everything I have to say.
Well, I think we should. What do you think about going out with our new the thing that we spoke about, Mr. Logan, which is the poem? Before I go on, Jay, before you leave, I just want to know your thoughts of what you thought about the poem that, you know, getting off your cell phone.
I guess that's not, it has to do with technology. I think it has to do with, you know, sometimes.
We lost you for a little bit, Jay.
Sometimes it's always good to use home cooking. Sometimes you don't need to use your cell phone for everything. Sometimes use your brain. Hey, use some natural things. Use some herbs. Let's not lose sight of our humanity. Let's make sure that we keep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So a lot of times we lose sight. Technology doesn't. Now, God forgive me, but technology doesn't work all the time. It doesn't work all the time. And a good example, a bad example exactly, is they lost the poor plane. You know, the technology can't even find the plane of 200-300 passengers. So technology doesn't solve everything. Sometimes it takes
let's bring back one unfortunate thing too. The girls who disappeared in Nigeria, they can't find them.
Can't find them. Technology doesn't solve everything.
Right, and, you know, the other thing, too, is really having our kids, you know, sometimes throw a rock in the water or go fishing, you know, have a real relationship without, you know, I want to go out with you on, you know, on a text.
Right.
So that's, you know, that's what I want to urge with everyone. So We're going to have this video on our website. We thank you guys. We had a blast. Jay, it was a blast being with you. And next week we'll return to our regular air date of Wednesday at 3 p.m. with some fun guests. So, guys, thank you. Jay, thank you. And we're going to go out with Pat Leather. Okay, sir?
Okay.
Let's do it.